We'll call the regular city council meeting of June 25th to order. Please call roll.
Kukoski.
Here.
Johnston.
Here.
Bronson.
Here.
Mallory.
Here.
Temple.
Here.
Kuchar.
Here.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we will have public comments. This is a time that's designated to address council on any topic not on the agenda. People wishing to address the council should come to the podium, introduce themselves for the public record. Comments should be addressed to the mayor and council, not to staff or other members of the audience. So, anybody for public comment?
Yes. Lewis Balance, on behalf of Charles Edwards, he is Smith on 204 Southeastern Avenue, City of Chippewa. Ongoing issues we've been having with city water, city sewer, drainage issues on the east side of town. As I see it, the city is in violation of Section 5.1, Public Health and Safety, and also the 9501, nuisance of 9502 per se, meaning that you guys are allowing or not doing the ditches on Eastern Avenue, not doing the ditches on, in the drainage ditches on the southern and eastern drains. Past meeting, yes, we're going to do Smith drain, which is going into Bogrand in Emerson Township, which has no jurisdiction inside the city of Sheboygan. You guys should be improving the city of Sheboygan, not improving Bogrand and Emerson Townships. We are paying taxes to the city to do this work. Our family cannot drink the water on the city. On that Eastern Avenue area, the groundwater, thanks to the city allowing Detroit Tap and Duel, allowing the Procter & Gamble plant to dump their hazardous waste, I've brought this up before, into the old city dump area on Eastern Avenue, which is now the city's tree brush refuse area, poisoning the land, the groundwater. Look at our tub, shower, our toilet, and our sink on Eastern Avenue. You wouldn't want to know what the color of it is. I mean, you know, that's the groundwater. Does the city of Sheboygan want to be the next Flint, where they are allowing their city taxpayers to be drinking poisonous water? All because now they have their hands in with Meyer trying to get in. The city said, we're going to put in the line out to UNS Township this year. What about us? We've been not having water, city water, city sewer on Eastern Avenue for decades. What about us? We are your taxpayers. They are a new guy in town. Is Meyer going to get the water first because they're a business, they're a big business, and what money lines the pockets of the city to get the water in quickly? What about us, the taxpayers? Been paying taxes for decades. The family's at a point where the city's either going to provide services, or we're just going to wash the hands of the city, sell the property to the city, and we're going to leave. We have three parcels in the city of Sheboygan. Three parcels on that street. Half the other lots on that street are for sale by the taxpayers. And the city is even in violation of their own rules and policies on their own property, the corner of Eastern and 23. They're not keeping it up. They're not mowing the weeds in there. They're not they're just failing to do things, just like the city water and city sewer. So I ask the council, are you going to continually be in violation of Section 5.1, Public Health and Safety, Section 5202, the connection of water is mandatory, but then you guys have adopted a thing where it has to be 200 feet or whatever. You can't have an ordinance that says mandatory, and then next to it say, well, you know, we're going to put these exclusions and these exemptions in. You can't have mandatory, and then put things in that make it invalid. That can't fly with me, you know. And Mr. Eustis does have the discretion to put in city water and city sewer, but then they get a letter dated June 19, 2019. The city has no plans to run water and sewer down Southeastern Avenue. Slapping the taxpayers in the face. In the face. I cannot, how can we, in good faith, pay taxes to the city? Pay taxes to the city and get this letter, which is basically toilet paper. How can we be paying taxes to the city? And you guys fail to provide services to us. I mean, you know, and poison us with the city, I want the city, maybe the Department of Public Safety, Mr. Jones, to get a company in with a drill down and get soil samples and water samples and test that soil and test that water. We are drinking poisonous water. We are on poisonous land. Thanks to the city and them putting in that convoy of sawdust on the old sawdust pile. From the old sawdust pile, they took it out to Eastern Avenue and covered up all that mess. They knew the DEQ was going to come down on them. I mean, I know I'm probably running a little bit long here, but, you know, 9504 also, with the ditches, runs a fall with the supposedly the state's road ordinance or road laws, say they, you know, that they have to maintain vegetation in them, but 9504 and 9501, 9502 is a nuisance to us, because we're going to get inundated with mosquitoes, may have West Nile virus in them, you know. The Eastern Massasauqua rattlesnake can come in and infest our property, rendering us unable to use the property outside. Come on, city. You know, we've been paying taxes to use for decades, if not centuries. About time the city does its job. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the kicking the can down the road. I want answers, please. Our family cannot reoccupy our homestead, the family's homestead, until these issues are addressed, or we're just going to sell the property, give it back to the city. And if the city doesn't want to do that, then maybe you have to do some legal action. I mean, I hate to take legal action, but if we cannot get a amicable resolution to this quickly, then we need to do something. So please provide services to us. Or we may be another for sale sign on Eastern Avenue. Does the city want to own the whole stretch of Eastern Avenue? And the way it looks, it's coming that way. Do you guys want more? You guys are asking for new equipment for the place on fire? You're asking for new equipment for this, new equipment for that? You want to buy a new dump truck? You want to do you want to do all this? You want to paint the Lincoln Street Bridge? But you want to paint the Lincoln Street Bridge before you provide people clean water and do city services? I said, June 19th letter is toilet paper to me. I had an agreement with the city manager in January, February of this year, and I get this garbage in the mail. So please help us out. We cannot do this anymore.
All right.
What can we do, Council?
We're not here to answer questions.
I expect there's some resolution on this. I mean, you expect us to pay taxes? I mean, you know, how can we pay
this
taxes?
This is public comments. You're making your comments. It's not for us to answer.
I'm done.
Okay. Thanks, Lewis. Anyone else?
I'm not going to do this anymore.
Judy Lothgren, is it okay if I sit down to talk to you, please?
Oh, you want to stand over there?
No, I'm just going to. I'm here if it's okay.
Want to do the thing?
No, I think I can talk loud enough. There was a meeting, a brownfield meeting this afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And I missed it. Could you give us a little synopsis of what is that just like part of the. Getting this job started, or
what? Yes, the Sheboygan Hardware Project. It was basically just the brownfield plan has already been approved for this project. We needed to approve the reimbursement agreement. We have our own brownfield policy that any documents that are submitted to the state are approved by the brownfield board, even though they've already been approved technically according to what the state says. We just wanted to make sure that we had on record that the reimbursement document was approved by the board, so we had a special meeting to do that. And that was a final step in the project for the Sheboygan Hardware redevelopment, which will start probably sometime next week.
Okay. And then is there any follow up on the weeds along the banks of the river? Did we get anybody to come and start pulling?
Scott is trying to get community service personnel to do that. And I know he talked to the county today. And I think he has that scheduled. I think he has some personnel scheduled to do that.
Good, after this rain, they might be a little looser. And I don't know. I'm a little disgusted because we talk a lot about blight. And I mean, the gentlemen that are on patrol all the time, the policemen, when they see blight, don't they report it or anything? I'm talking about a brush pile that is just in front of a yellow house, just before Harborside Estates. It's a sizable brush pile. It was green when they put it out there, and it's been out there so long that it's completely dead, and you can't miss it. And I know the city police cars that do that around Duncan, I don't know how many times a day, and I can't believe that isn't taken care of.
Is it in the right-of-way, Trudy, or is it on their property?
Probably half and half, maybe, you know. But if it's on their property, they can leave it there?
No, we would have to tell them to remove it.
Yeah. Well,
but if it's in the right of way, we can remove it.
Okay. Well, it's hard to tell where the right of way is, but it's sizable pile. It's just so unsightly. Actually, I guess that was it. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll take a look at that, Trudy.
Anyone else?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Stanley's Council members, Mr. Administrator,
My name is Michael O'Brien. I live at 117 Franklin Street. I'm here to introduce myself as a candidate for the vacant position of council member. And I'm here to ask for your consideration. We're relatively new to the community, but I feel like I have a lot to offer, and I'll explain that in my letter of introduction. And next week, we'll see you next week, or 2 weeks from now, and at that discussion. So.
All right.
Thank you.
One more question on that matter. How soon will you choose a replacement for Mr. King?
The advertisements are in the paper right now, and July 9th meeting will be when we make that decision.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll talk about that later in the meeting here. All right, we'll close public comments. Move on to approval of agenda and receive and file all communications.
I'll make the motion.
Support.
Motion by Councilman Krakowski, seconded by Councilman Mallory to approve the agenda and receive and file all communications. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of prior meeting minutes, Ranger City Council meeting minutes, June 11th, 2019.
Can I request an update to the minutes in the section about our public hearings?
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Kuchar's comments are not listed there. I'm wondering if we can add a bullet point for the comments that he made about that matter.
Sure.
Motion by Councilwoman Kuski, seconded by Councilwoman Johnson to approve the regular City Council meeting minutes with the addition of the June 11th, 2019 meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we will open now a public hearing. This public hearing is adoption of the fiscal year 2019-2020 operating budget for all funds of the City of Sheboygan. This time, if you want to address council, please do so. If not, we'll close the public hearing and move on to the part that we need to do.
I'll move to adopt the fiscal year 2019-2020 operating budget for all funds of the City of Sheboygan.
Motion by Councilman Johnson, seconded by Councilman Temple to adopt the fiscal year 2019-2020 operating budget for all funds of the City of Sheboygan. Please call the roll.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
All right, we'll move on to 8A, Opera House presentation. Kathy Jean Johnson of the Sheboygan Area Arts Council.
So, I'm here tonight just to talk to you about some of the grant opportunities that we're looking at, and I'll walk you through the packet a little bit. First, wanted to talk about grant strategies so nobody freaks out. Okay, because granting is a little tricky. We will be, if we receive an award, it's usually 50 to 80% of what we ask for. So it's a silly grant game, and you have to ask for more than you expect to get, if you expect to get any. And I wish it didn't work that way, but that's the way it is. So we ask for more, we probably won't get that much. If you don't get all the money that you ask for in your grant, then you rebudget. So if we don't get what we want, It's not that we won't get the grant, it's just that when it comes in, then we have to rebudget for what we actually need. Because of this, when we start the grant process, you have to keep in mind that you might not get any money at all. So we spend a lot of time on these grants, sometimes months, like one that's coming up. So it's usually, at this point, not worth quibbling over the details until you know what you're getting. We apply for matching grants, and matching grants are sometimes dollar-for-dollar grants, but most of these from the state and the government, the federal government, are going to be matching grants. But a lot of the match is, can sometimes half, up to half, can be in-kind or non-cash donations. So it isn't that you have to match the entire amount. Things like volunteer time, salaries as direct expenses can also go toward the match. So you don't worry too much if, you know, don't panic if you think we can't match it. We have three ongoing grants. The first one that is actually done is the Michigan Council for Arts and Culture. And we issued a grant challenge for roof and duct repair. And in your packet, there's a paper that says the road to restoration and state funding for capital improvements. So this is already done. You won't know until September what we get or if we get anything. But basically, we put out a matching grant challenge, and we have about $50,000 pledged, and we ask the MCACA for another $50,000. Then the bids from the contractors came in under that, so there were some adjustments, and we'll just find out in September what happens there. But if you're wondering why we need roof and duct repair, there's another handout in your packet that shows the mansard roof, the tin falling off. There's bricks falling off now, like happened in the 60s. We have leaking, major leaking inside, so your second page is about the leaks. And this went to the MCACA, so they know what we're dealing with. They know they can see it. It's a big project because the leak is starting outside, right above the city hall doors. And so they have to take that brick down to know what's going on, and that's why it's so expensive. So, but we're on that road. We have contractors lined up to begin the work, and we have, hopefully we'll get some funding for it. So that's number one. The second grant is for, there's a group of people in town, a committee in town called the Art Vision Sheboygan Committee. There's probably 30 or 40 people that are involved in that, as well as their groups. And we will be applying to the National Endowment for the Arts to fund public art on Main Street. And it is important. They say that sometimes the arts and culture bring in more than tourism. So it's a... not just a way to dress up downtown, but it's also a way to involve the community. So they've started a community survey and planning committee, so we'll be looking for community input on what the town wants. Not just what would bring in tourism, but what the town wants to live with. And really welcome your suggestions on that. We will be asking $100,000 from the NEA with the plans of probably getting half that, if anything, at all. I actually have a good relationship with the NEA, and they invited me to resubmit, so we're going for it. The third one is even bigger. Now, the MCACA grant for the roof would be start in 2019. Our town grant from the National Endowment of the Arts will start in 2020. And the third one is for restoration of the Opera House. And we started with SHPO, the State Historical Preservation Office, and they have awarded us our certificate of eligibility. So we are eligible to be part of the National Register of Historic Places. With that certificate, which is just recently, they just recently gave us, we are eligible for two grants from National Park Services. And the one we're really looking at is for $750,000 for the National Park Service for restoration. And this is a non-matching grant for rural communities only. And this brings us to another marker handouts. This is the Opera House back in its glory, before the fires, before the restoration in the 80s. And then this is a theater in Coldwater called the Tibbetts Theater. And this is Tibbetts back in the 1800s, about the same time as the Opera House. And then this is Tibbetts in the 80s, which looks kind of familiar, you know, just the blank brick wall and some tin awning. And then they did a major restoration with the same type of funding. And this is Tibbetts today. So again, this is a long-term vision. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's probably 2 years away because we need to fix the roof first. Are there any questions? So you know where to find me. I'm sitting at the computer writing grants. All summer.
Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
I do have a quick question.
Sure.
A little more. Have any of you contacted anyone from Mackinac City? I know a lot of bus tours go into Mackinac City. Has that window been opened at all?
No, it hasn't. And they also go to Legs Inn. And I think they come up from Legs Inn and Cross Village and go to Mackinac, and that would be a really nice loop to kind of come over and see a little show here.
Yeah, actually work for a company that runs out of Mackinac, and that's part of their, it's place to stay, things to do, including food venues and shows like this. That's part of, that might be a very, something to look into,
and it's
early in the year. It's a lot of before the summer happening up there is when most of them take place in the fall.
Yeah.
So maybe
what's the name of the company?
Well, the one that runs a lot is Diamond Tours. Might be the first place you reach out to see, you know, what they, there's some availability for that.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Something to get a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Money flowing this way because they pre-charge all them people book those tours. And they've already paid for it with all inclusive, so then that's
great.
So yeah, you know, to collect at the door, you know. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, great. Tom, we'll move on to department boards and commission reports. Zoning Board of Appeals.
On June 5th, we had a Zoning Board of Appeals on a residential property owned by Tom Bishop. He wanted to construct a garage unattached on the side of his house. Our ordinance doesn't allow that without a variance. The variance was granted to put the garage on the property and adjacent to his house in the side yard. He did have a hardship. Our ordinance requires that utility buildings, accessory buildings like that need to be in the rear yard, which is a waterfront property. So the rear yard would be on the roadside in this case. But there's no sewer on Bayview Drive where this house is located. And a septic tank and septic field occupy predominantly all of his rear yard. So he couldn't build in the rear yard. So the Board of Appeals granted him a variance to build on the side yard, and it's going to be a very nice development. So that was a good thing to make an improvement to that particular property. That's all the business that was at that Board of Appeals.
And any questions for Chief on the public safety stand?
We'll move on to the resolution on commending the U.S. Coast Guard Cutter Mackinac on its 75th anniversary. In the packet, this resolution, we need to read this, or?
You don't have to, no.
Okay.
In the record, but.
In the record.
It's pretty simple. This is the 75th year of the Coast Guard Cutter Mackinac stationed here in Sheboygan, and with the Waterways Festival coming up, the chamber is trying to make some provisions to celebrate the cutter. We're going to do some things later on in the year as well.
Good, I hope so.
So this is a simple resolution to recognize the men and women and their families that have been located here for 75 years with the cutter.
Mm-hmm. The chamber's been presenting packets to new cutter families.
They have.
That came up at one of the meetings we had last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the library's participated in that, so that as people come into the community with the cutter there, getting some understanding what's happening in town, how to get around, who to contact, I think so.
Absolutely. And yeah, we're trying to ramp that up both through the DDA and Main Street and the chamber, and try to get some more recognition for them and you know, get them into the programs and make sure they know what's available in and around the community, like the public library, like the Opera House. There's a lot of things. In most cases, many of these young men and women are only here 2 years, so they change over quite a bit, and they come here and they don't know what type of activities are occurring in the city. We're going to try to improve that. And
met a lady through work. We hired her, and her husband's in the Coast Guard, and after being in Sheboygan for about 6 months, they absolutely fell in love with this place. They said it's their favorite place of any that they've ever lived. They put in for an extension to be here for another 3-year term. They were really hoping that it would go through, but then darn it, he got a promotion and had to move to a different role.
Oh boy.
But I thought that was a very high compliment from her, that they absolutely loved it here and were really hoping to stay. So hopefully he'll have a chance to come back.
Sure.
Well, I will move to approve the resolution commending the United States Coast Guard Cutter Mackinac on its 75th anniversary.
Support.
Motion by Councilman Johnston, seconded by Councilman Mallory, to approve the resolution. Please call roll.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Kukuski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes. General business, consideration of school district annual tax collection request. This is an annual request from the school.
To collect the taxes on their behalf.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we get some benefit from that because we can charge for collecting.
We don't charge anything for collecting. We just keep the admin fee.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what
we do. Like we don't charge them, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Ken always pointed that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
We get an admin fee for doing that.
Yeah.
I'll move to approve the school district annual tax collection request pursuant to the Sheboygan Area Schools annual summer tax resolution dated June 10, 2019.
Support.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, seconded by Councilman Temple to approve. Please call roll.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Kukuski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
11D, consideration of Sheboygan County Humane Society 2019 animal control appropriation in the amount of $3,000 for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2019.
This is something the Humane Society requests every year. They again did request this year for $4,000. We have over the past 4 years granted $3,000 to the Humane Society, and we do have it budgeted for the 2019-2020 fiscal year. There's always some discussion about this basic donation. And the services they provide. because this is really over and above what the property taxpayers pay to provide this service, but they need additional monies to manage the Humane Society and their officers. We do have a great deal of calls in the city for the Humane Society officers and the Sheriff Department. We use their services more than anybody. And they do provide a great service, but we don't believe increasing the amount is necessary at this point. So they asked for $4,000.
I'll make a motion to approve the City Humane Society Animal Control Appropriation in the amount of $3,000 for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2020.
Support.
What? Yeah.
19.
Before we call the vote, I'll just give my. This always bothers me. This is a county service that we already pay taxes for, and they're asking for additional funding. I think the county should step up for it. But as at that, I will call roll.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
No.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Item C, consideration of annual 2018-19 fiscal year budget amendments. And this is to finish up the fiscal year.
I'm sorry, what's that?
This is to finish up the fiscal
year. This is to finish up the current fiscal year, which ends June 30th of this year. I put together, these are what we're estimating the amendments to be. Obviously, I'm still paying bills for the current fiscal year, and I will probably be paying those into August. Additionally, we will have auditor's adjustments that they'll have us make. When we're looking at our budget amendments, we need them to be within 10% of the overall budget for that fund. So we try to get that, when we amend the budget, we try to get it as close as possible. You'll see a little bit of overage or under it, you know, under on some areas. But I just wanted to put something together to kind of show you where we ended the year and what we're looking at for amendments.
Okay. Any questions? Which is the council?
Make a motion to approve the annual 2018-19 budget amendments and to authorize clerk treasurer to make the appropriate 2018-19 fiscal year budget amendments as required.
A second. Motion by Councilman Mallory, second by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar to approve. Please call the roll.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Item 11D, consideration of purchase of 2004 IHC SA dump truck for the Department of Public Works.
Yeah, IHC is an international harvester brand truck. We have been trying to come up with the funding to buy a new dump truck, plow truck, which are outfitted, are very, very costly. They're upwards of $280,000 to get a new dump truck, plow truck equipped. But we are in dire need of another truck for the winter. Last winter we had a truck, 1994, where the engine seized up on it. We don't want to put any more money into that because it is nearly 30 years old. So we thought it's not throw money at that. So we've been searching for about 6 months since that happened for some type of a replacement for it. Buying a new truck still is an option in the future, but there's two things that are problematic about buying a new truck. One, we likely wouldn't get the truck itself, the chassis, for a year. And then it may take another year before we can outfit it. So we have to have something now. So Eric Wilfong went to Buckley, Michigan. Midwest Truck has some refurbished trucks. They buy trucks from municipalities and counties and refurbish them and then resell them. When we made contact with them, they had 5 used trucks that we could look at. By the time we got there, they had 2. So he inspected the trucks, drove them, operated them, and he basically selected this as the vehicle we should buy. It's completely outfitted as a belly plow, and and then we also have plows that we can connect to this vehicle. So for $43,900, we can buy an operable truck that has 18,000 miles on it. For the age of it, it's in very good condition.
Sounds like.
Yes, it may need some work. It may need some other things, but it's certainly something we can, our mechanics can fix if necessary. Right now, it's completely operable, but you never know when something might go as soon as you drive it off the lot. So we made, to secure this, we made a down payment of 10% of this vehicle. Otherwise, it may be gone before we got it to council. So we made the payment, and if you don't choose to purchase this truck, we'll get that down payment back. But this is the best case scenario that we can find right now. We've looked at other vehicles. We had a truck that we could have purchased from the city of Orlando, which didn't have plows on them, obviously, because they don't get snow. But so we would have had to outfit it with their plows, which would have been costly. But that would have been a good truck, but it was just too costly to get it here and to outfit it. We think this is that truck was upwards of $120,000 by the time we outfitted it and so forth. So we think this, as we look through the state of Michigan, we believe this is the best option. And it is, it's my policy, it's the city manager's policy to bid out these types of things, but the council has the option to choose whatever they like to choose.
Well, it's hard to put a bid out for a used, that's not,
right.
We're not looking for a new truck here.
Right.
And this is pretty high on your need list, right?
That absolutely.
We had a couple weeks ago.
Yes, absolutely. We need both for the winter, but we need it now as well.
Looking at paying for this in one lump sum?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, we are going to pay it.
You said plows from one of the other trucks would fit onto that?
Yes.
Or you have a plow, at least another plow that would fit onto that?
Yes,
as well.
But we have equipment that...
Was there, I don't know what all you fit onto them, but is there some other equipment too that would be usable, maybe from that old truck to that?
Mostly everything's
interchangeable.
Okay,
great.
Well,
thanks, Jeff.
Since they refurbish old trucks, will they take ours on trade-in?
We might be able to sell it to them. Yeah, we're not necessarily trading it, but yeah.
Just for whatever, better than having it sit there and rust.
Right. Yeah, eventually we're going to have to either auction them or sell them to an organization like this or scrap them out, certainly.
I think it's a good idea.
We need
it.
You're going to make the motion?
Oh, sure. I will. I'll make a motion. Which one it is? I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of 2004 IHCSA dump truck for the Department of Public Works in the amount of
$43,900. Thanks. Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, seconded by Councilman Johnston to approve. Please call the roll.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
All right. 11E is consideration to transfer money from the general fund to sidewalk program.
Do you want to do that?
Sure. Well, as you know, we've started the sidewalk program. I believe they've finished up over at the mayor's house, and that'll be we'll be assessing that on the tax roll. But in order to fund the program, what we need to do is actually to track it properly. We're setting up a special fund for it, so we'll actually need to transfer money out of the general fund in order to fund the program so that we can pay the contractors as they come out to do the work. That will be replenished as we collect that on the tax bills, but we need a motion from council tonight to fund the program.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, seconded by Councilman Temple to approve. Please call the roll.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
And item F, consideration of non-union, non-administrative salary increases.
This is something I do annually. We did make these increases in January. I recommended a 2% increase. That was based on the last fiscal year, and we didn't go back retroactive. So I'm trying to get the non-union personnel on the same schedule as the AFSCME union, which they get automatic raises based on contract on July 1. So I'm asking for increases for basically the recreation department. We have only one full-time personnel there, Michelle Corso, two part-time personnel that work 29 hours a week. We do have some other part-time personnel, like, for example, Matt Nedwick, who cleans, he basically cleans these offices. He's a janitor. And then we have Brenda Temple in the police station, who is a non-union part-time personnel. So I'm asking to give them a 2% increase, which is consistent with what the AFSCME union gets dollar-wise. I mean, their salaries are, their hourly rates much lower. So it's not a, it's not an equal percentage or an equal dollar rate increase as the full-time employees get. But total cost of this increase is about $2,000 spread over 8 employees. So it's not overly significant, but it's, I think, our recreation personnel work very hard to what we do in this city, and Brenda Temple and the police department for a part-time employee is very productive. So I believe that they deserve a basically a rate of inflation increase.
This is your recommendation, correct?
Yes, 2%.
On an annual basis for July 1st of the year?
It'll come to us every year, right?
Yeah, at this point.
We'll revisit this at the end of June then, each year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I also, at the July 9th meeting, I'm going to address the management staff, management team, and the fire department. I'll have a recommendation of what we might want to do there.
I'll make a motion for 2% to approve a 2% increase for non-administrative employees effective with the July 9th, 2019 payroll.
Support.
Motion by Councilman Mallory, second by Councilman Johnston to approve. Please call the roll.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on to city clerks and treasurer's comments. Got a big one.
I have a few things tonight. First of all, you have a copy of the advertisement. We were running that for 4 weeks in the newspaper. We're looking for a candidate for the vacated city council seat. Those letters need to be in to me by July 3rd at 4 o'clock, at which time I'll forward any interested parties over to the council so that they can select the candidate on the July 9th meeting. So far, I've received one letter of interest, but it does sound like, I think Tom and I have both spoken to a few other people who have sounded interested, so it sounds like we may have a few people who put their name in that bucket. So that'll be good. The other thing I wanted to follow up with was Trudy had asked a question at the last meeting about the street sweeper and when that was going to be paid off because we had made a debt service payment in June for that. We make payments twice a year on that, and then that will mature June of 2021. And then the other item I brought for you tonight was the repair and maintenance for the equipment fund. This is a rundown from the whole fiscal year of what we've paid for expenses for repair and maintenance to any of our equipment. Just an FYI, we had budgeted $75,000. You can see we've exceeded that budget. Obviously, we had quite a few large expenses here towards the end of the year with the front end loader and then also with the salt truck repairs. So that was information that you had wanted to review. And the other item that I had tonight was our water sewer tax liens. I officially sent them over to the county when I reported to you back in March. We had a total amount just below $104,000 that we were looking at adding as tax liens. The amount that I officially sent over to be added to be printed on the July 1st tax bills was just under $63,000. So it decreased. Usually we see about a 25% decrease, and we saw closer to a 40% this year. So that was a positive note. And that was all I had tonight, unless anybody had any questions.
Just a little more clarification on the vacated seat.
Mm-hmm.
So those people will apply.
Yes.
We'll review them July 9th, council. Will there be space for us to select that? That will be on the agenda.
We'll leave probably a blanket motion on there so you can fill in whoever you'd like to appoint to that position.
And I think when this happened before, people, if they chose, could come up and address council.
Yes.
Just to
introduce themselves.
Right, or talk more about their resume.
Yes, we will leave
we
space.
We do need to make a decision at that meeting.
Yes.
Because we have a 30-day window.
That we have to fill that
seat. Do you have any idea when we would have to have an election?
No, we actually haven't. We're just working right now on getting that seat vacated, but we will be working on getting with the county to run that election. Yes.
But because it's more than a year until that term ended, we will have to have a special election.
Correct. Had the term been less than a year, we could have appointed somebody to fill that for the remainder of the term. But because there's over a year, we will have to hold the special election to permanently fill that position until the next.
And I would like council to consider, and I'll ask sometime to be put on the in the agenda for us to discuss if there's anything else, since we're going to have to pay for an election.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to include on that? And so think about it, and we'll have some discussion if that's something you wanted to do.
Is there a limit on how many you can run? I mean, we're not going to just have one person. I mean, there's going to...
For the special election?
Oh, for the actual election?
Yeah. On the ballot.
No. I mean, there's
whoever
petitions and mm-hmm. qualifies.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you could have 15 people.
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who gets the required signatures and fills out the paperwork, like we all do, would be also be on the ballot.
Absolutely.
But it would only fill the remaining part of that term.
Exactly.
Term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they would have to run again in November of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you. City manager's report.
Jason Carmel wanted to be here tonight specifically because the dump truck was on the agenda, but... he couldn't be. He's in Boyne Mountain at the Michigan Water Environment Association Conference. I think I gave you a packet.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting an award from this association. It is the Donald M. Pierce Award for an outstanding performance in a municipal facility. I gave you the criteria in your packet, what the Donald M. Price Award is all about, but it's basically given to a successful operator of a water, wastewater facility in the state of Michigan. So this award is selected by this organization, and it's basically based on performance, personnel.
You recommended him to that company, or they just kind of?
No, I didn't recommend it. I supported it, but no, I didn't make the original recommendation.
Right, okay, okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure who did make the recommendation, but likely, you know, engineering firms and that type of stuff will make recommendations.
So this is recognition from its peers.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a nice thing for our community. So that's where Jason is tonight. I think you'd like to receive the award this evening, actually.
We'll buy him a dump truck.
There you go. You got it. We submitted a passport grant to the Michigan DNR April 1. We were a little concerned. Our Kate Schultz and I and Scott Hancock put together the grant. We were concerned that we might not even get recognized because it's a very competitive grant, so we're basically asking for repair and replacement of equipment and bathrooms and lighting in the men's fast pitch field in Major City Park. But tomorrow, the DNR is going to do a site inspection, so we got through the first round of qualifications, and they're coming here to look at the property tomorrow, so the grant won't be issued until December if we do get it. But
so we need the property to look really bad right now.
That's right. Yeah, we're trying to.
It does.
We're trying to get $150,000, and we have this is a 25% match, but we have all in kind services. The Community Foundation has contributed $5,500 to the trail project. Great Lakes Fisheries Trust, we had a $25,000 grant for Major City Park to do some planning. Those are dollars we can use to match this project. So we have all the in-kind, between in-kind services and some other funding that we got, we have the match. So if we get the grant of $150,000, we don't have, it's not going to cost us anything.
And there are a lot of volunteer hours in that match, too, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
A lot of volunteer hours.
Yep. Yep. Good. Yeah, so it's a start. I mean, it's very competitive, though. So, but at least we got to the second round, and you know, we're gonna this particular grant, the passport grant, we're gonna apply for every year. We should always do that for recreational properties. And through the Great Lakes Fisheries Trust, I was concerned that if we don't get it this year, we can't use that $25,000 that we got for planning. But we're also working with the Great Lakes Fisheries Trust for a grant to put in fishing piers along in behind Great Lakes Tissue and develop some of that area. Well, we can use that as a match. So the next year we apply, we'll have those monies to be able to match another passport grant. And so those are good things. It's a tough thing because you got to get grants, you got to have matching funding, but by getting grants, we can use those to match the funding of other grants. It's what we have to do. It's very difficult to come up with cash. So using in-kind services and other grant fundings, it's a good resource for us.
Creative grant,
to keep moving. Yep, it's just hopefully it's just a snowball effect. We just can keep using the grants to match other grants.
Speaking of grants, have we heard anything further about the appraisal of the DNR property down at City Beach?
Yes, Rob Corbett is the manager of the land transfers I did talk to him about 2 weeks ago, and this basis approval, I mean, the DNR has already approved the transfer. He's waiting for the appraisal. It was his task to get an appraisal done. Says I haven't been able to find an appraiser that can do it. So I gave him Tony Piazza's name. Tony Piazza is a local appraiser. He does a lot of waterfront property, around northern Michigan, and he does appraisals for DNR property. He knew who Rob Corbett was when I talked to him. So I know who he is. So he's going to call him, and I don't know if Rob hired him yet. I'll find that out. But that was the holdup.
Yeah, we got to get that.
He was sitting on his desk, and hopefully Tony can get the appraisal done, and that's the last step in transferring the property.
Forget a zero.
Keep bugging him.
So, yes. Yep. We got to keep pushing it. The county's ready to go with the replacing the tanks down there too. So, and they need an easement across this property. They don't need it immediately, but they're going to need an easement for the future to maintain those tanks and to get gas tankers into there. So, yeah, we'll try to get that finished here in July.
Well, Tom, as long as you keep doing the DNR's job in addition to your own, we should be fine.
That's right. Sometimes that's what you got to do, I guess. Yeah. July, the week of July 15th, we're going to begin the repair of the roof of the Opera House, this building. Right?
That's what I heard. That's good.
Kathy says we have some shows and stuff in July, but Kathy's going to work around it. She just said, we're going to fix it. I don't care.
We'll take them over to Festival Square.
We'll put them somewhere. Yeah. So finally, we're gonna get that done. And it's very important. So we'll likely, Kathy has written some grants that would happen after the fact if we get them. So this is a project that we will have to spend general fund money, fund balance money, to do it. So once it's done, because I believe the cost is going to be somewhere around $100,000. Joel thinks he can do it for less than that. Joel Ross, who's president of Doyle Roofing, but we don't know. We don't really know the extent of the damage, and we have to fix the ductwork that's inside the wall that provides heat and air conditioning to the north side of the Opera House. We don't know the extent of that damage. John E. Green is going to fix that. The mechanical contractor that'll repair that. So we don't know until we get inside that wall, take the facade off, what we're dealing with as far as damage.
Is any of that for the roof of the Opera House, or is that just kind of on hold until we get some more grants?
Yeah, it's basically the flat roof. Above the entrance to the City Hall offices, which is also the elevator. That's the most serious leak is on that roof.
Right.
And there's also some leakage on the facade that's above that roof. Mm-hmm. Within water's getting in behind there and coming down and into that wall as well. So, the rest of the roof will be for another day. We just... This is a very important fix. It leaks right at the entrance to the Opera House as you come off the elevator.
Okay. Yep. I see.
And it's
yeah.
It's embarrassing to see have people come up to see a show and come up off the elevator and you got 5 gallon pails sitting right by the entrance. Mm-hmm. It's just.
It's been leaking since 2012.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
In the same place, because I was reading through city council notes. And so it's been going on a long time, and it's going to cause worse damage to the structure for that to keep leaking.
Pretty sure longer than that.
But I think longer than that, I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing that's going to happen this summer. I'll get that kind of. That's all I have.
Could you give us an update on the people that came and looked at the industrial park?
Oh, I had that on my agenda. Thanks for saying that. That's what I was telling you I had to talk about.
Forgot to remind you.
Yes. With the help of Northern Lakes Economic Alliance and Hannah Sanderson, we made application. It's really a grant, but we made an application to the Michigan Economic Development Corporation to do a market analysis on our industrial capabilities. We were one of seven municipalities in the state of Michigan that were selected to have this market analysis and capability study performed. The MEDC contracts with a consulting firm. It's Olson Group out of Omaha, Nebraska. They're doing all seven of these sites, these sites that were selected. And they do a market analysis and capability study for our industrial properties. And they focus on the industrial park, but they were here last Tuesday. We had a meeting with the MEDC. We had about five members from the MEDC here, and then there's two consultants from this Olson Group. They are going to, over time, it'll take until about September, do a workforce analysis, market analysis on our capabilities, including the port of Sheboygan. They were shocked that we had something like the port of Sheboygan here and had adjacent property. I mean, when they came here, they were just thinking, focusing on the industrial park. But when they realized that we had a port and we had available property adjacent to the port, they're going to certainly include that into the study, which I think is going to be very, very detailed. It's something that this company, Olson Group, specializes in. They've had some successes throughout the country, and they've done this in California and Michigan and Texas and throughout the nation, and they've had some successes. What they're going to try to do is to do a market analysis on our industrial capabilities and then try to tie industrial investors to our community, and the port's going to help to find that type of investor here. I think it's a big thing. We have no industrial jobs in our industrial park, and I truly believe after listening to what they're going to do, I truly believe that they're going to add jobs to this community.
So they're going to do the study and help us actually market.
Exactly, try to connect investors with us.
Great.
Awesome.
Yep.
A lot of room to grow there.
Yeah, so it's I think it's a good thing. The people that attended the meeting were very impressed with what they had to say. The accumulation of data that they're going to collect and their opinions and that sort of thing, even if we don't get somebody immediately, we're going to have all that information. We're going to know how to market it. And it's been a long time struggle for me as far as marketing the port and trying to find investors here. I don't have the time to spend on that, and we need somebody to spend the time on that, and that's what they're going to do. But we can't just leave it at that. We're going to have to keep working on that as well.
I'm sure they have a lot of connections.
Yes, yeah, they do. So thanks for asking about that, Mayor. I wanted to speak to that because it's a very good thing. This, I don't know what the cost of this is to the MEDC, but they really are funding the entire project. They themselves, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, was impressed with what we had here. So not only do we get Olson Group engaged, the MEDC is now engaged and understand you know, that they, we have a port here, even though we've told them that. But mm-hmm. when they got here and they saw it, and they saw what we had, they're kind of, their wheels were spinning, like, wow, we can get investors here ourselves. You know, and they have grants through the MEDC for port activities and so forth, and they were excited about, you know, our capabilities here. So I think it's going to be a big thing for us going forward. I don't anticipate we're going to get an industrial investor that's going to create 300 jobs or 500 jobs, but all we need is a few, you know, a couple investors creating 25 jobs, and then, you know, another one may come. And that's what they're going to target.
I have a quick question, maybe, if you know anything about what's going on with Clinton Street. Is that something you can talk on? Or do you know anything?
There's
nothing for sure with that.
Again. Yeah, that's a brownfield project that Tom Bishop is working on himself. But he is going to ask eventually, we haven't filed application, but he is going to ask for that street to be vacated.
Okay, that's what I heard.
Because he now owns both sides of the street.
Right. Did he buy that house there too?
Yes.
Okay.
He owns everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Now, this is kind of an early question,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to ask it. How could he close Clinton when Antoine Street runs, there's houses down there?
Mm-hmm.
How would a snowplow turn around down there?
He's thought about that himself. I mean, he's going to allow, and that's all going to be parking. And, you know, he would allow a snowplow to extend into his parking lot and turn around, and if that's what's necessary. But
it might not make any difference. I mean, it would probably be the same deal, but I know the mail carrier was concerned with that, too.
Sure. Yeah, because you'd have to come in the opposite way. And
right. It would probably change the route.
You wouldn't be able to get in that off of Clinton or off of Mackinac into there.
Okay.
But, you know,
okay.
So that'll make it, it would be a dead end street, yes.
Right.
You know.
And all that site plan stuff would come to plan.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, and, you know, the street vacation and that sort of thing has to
There's
go to plan.
There's several things there, so we'll have plenty of time to end up with.
Yeah.
Into all those questions. Keep us up to as those come through.
Yes. Yeah, because he's eventually going to put a building where, in and around where Duffney's building is, which was a Sunoco gas station at one time. I don't remember that being a Sunoco gas station.
I do.
That's the project. He's trying to get brownfield monies to demo those buildings, and the project name is Steve's Sunoco. That's
interesting.
What they found, apparently. Whenever you try to get brownfield monies, you have to name the project, and that's what they named it. I don't know who Steve was. Do you know who Steve was?
Steve.
Steve's Sunoco gas station.
Oh, no, that was before. Dave Bowers, Idyllic had before.
Really?
When I was buying gas.
Yeah.
Moses.
Yeah. So there are two houses, one behind that station and the one on the Mackinac Avenue side, and the former Duffney's U-Haul are all going to be demolished,
okay.
No matter what. I mean, if he doesn't go through the project, I mean, he's getting brownfield money to clean that site up.
Sure.
So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All set. We'll move on to committee updates. Do we have any committees meet?
The Organizational Analysis Committee met last week. It was my first meeting since Councilman King resigned. I think we kind of did an overview for my benefit as a newbie, and we've developed a plan for moving forward. We've decided we're going to have a special meeting before every council meeting And we're specifically going to focus on succession planning with the administrative positions and the turnover that we expect. So we want to make sure that we're working
committee
on that.
Committee meetings, not special.
Yeah, committee meetings, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
No worries.
That way we have enough time to work on that, make sure that we have a solid succession plan in place. And I haven't heard anything about Blight Committee meeting. Do we have a meeting on the agenda? Or, you know, on the coming up?
Did you schedule one, Kurt, or yet or not?
We're still waiting for the two attorneys to...
Right.
Well, let's put it on the next council agenda then and talk about it at the council meeting. Because we can't wait. We can't continue to push it off. It's going to be snow before we get anything accomplished.
Yeah.
If it's the attorneys that's holding it up, let's make them come and answer questions then. Public, I guess. I mean, it's getting to the point where we've been talking about it for a long time. And every council meeting we get, it's not going yet. So let's kick the rock out of the way of the tire.
Sounds good. I like the plan. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the correct action to get something moving, but if a committee isn't getting it done, time to move it.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Did the rec commission meet since, was that last week?
Yep.
Yes, we met last week, last Wednesday night.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was curious.
Yeah, it was a pretty brief meeting, I think. We were kind of running through some of the things coming up.
But we did discuss the recreational authority and wanting to ramp that up and, like we discussed at the organizational meeting.
We
did discuss that. So I think that's going to be a priority of the Rec Commission, is to analyze that and get it moving.
Mm-hmm. Have we gotten any requests for the water sewer agreement with the township?
We have. Ron Newman would like our committees to start meeting again and have some discussion there. So we probably within the next couple of weeks we'll look at that. The DDA wants some discussion as well. They're a little concerned with some of the activities that are happening there, as far as that Meyer property being taken out of the DDA. And so I think we need to have some discussion about that. Because the DDA believes that they're losing a significant amount of money, which they really aren't. I mean, they're going to actually gain money. So once Meyer ties into the sewer system, they're going to be much farther ahead than they are today. But initially, they're going to lose a little bit of money in property taxes.
Financing?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's nine properties, right?
Yes.
That are coming out.
Yep, exactly.
When would the water start going under the ground?
I would expect the spring of next year. We don't have any commitment from Meyer at this time.
Yeah, that's what it starts with, though.
Yeah.
It starts with the commitment.
I mean, they've committed to pay for it. But it's up to them when they want to. We have a development agreement in their hands, so it's up to them when they want to initiate it.
So they're not waiting for us to start it, and then they're going to agree.
Right. No, they're just going to. I mean, they're going to have to give us the go ahead. They're going to have to give us a build date, or just sign the development agreement and tell us to go ahead, and they'll pay for it. Even if they don't have a build date. They're going to have to give us the go-ahead to put water out there.
I didn't know if they were waiting for us or we were waiting for them. Or...
Nope, it's all in their court now. I mean, I'm kind of letting them. They had the 425 agreement. I sent the 425 agreement to them the next day after it was signed. They acknowledged that they got it, but said nothing else. They know that we have municipal jurisdiction over that property now. It's just up to them to pull the trigger. I mean, it's now been 12 days since we signed that agreement. I'm just cautious as to you know, overwhelming them with, you know, asking them questions. You know, when are you gonna start? And you know, they know what their schedule is, and they'll tell us when we're ready. If it goes out too long, I mean, I'll send another email and say, hey, Chris, I'm probably gonna get hanged if we don't do something soon.
Yeah, so. Okay. Are they gonna pay for the second water tower or help pay for that, or are they just paying for the pipe to go?
Just the pipe, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, nothing at all with the tower.
But don't we have funding already for the tower? And isn't that something we should be working on? Or
yes.
Wasn't it scheduled for this?
Yeah.
Spring?
We're working on funding through the USDA. Grants and loans to pay for that.
But. Well, we need the new tower regardless of Myers coming in.
Yes.
Right. Yep. It's not dependent on that. So, yeah, it'd be nice to get that project moving forward.
Yeah.
All right. If there's nothing else like community updates, we'll move on to messages and communications from mayor and council members. I think I'll start with Vaughn this time.
Oh, have
it.
Thanks.
Sarah?
Yeah, Tom, can you get us some information about the water situation on Eastern Avenue? I'm not familiar with what's going on over there, but I think that we probably should look at that a little bit closer. And
absolutely.
We've got city residents asking for services. I think we need to do our due diligence and make an effort to see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
To spin on that a little bit, a question I had was, because you mentioned on Bayview that there, I wonder how many are, because this property that was in question, I wish you would stay, but is has no sewer, no city sewer.
Right.
Does it have city water?
No.
It's well and septic.
Yeah.
And I know there are more properties in the city that are like that, correct?
There is, yeah.
If we, maybe Jason is the person to answer this stuff, but my thought process is, do we test that? Even though they're not on city water, or is that the responsibility of the homeowner or the taxpayer? Because that's a grant but if we don't provide the service to hook up to it,
yeah.
I just don't know where we lay in that and responsibility factor on that. So just a synopsis on that would be helpful. And then
sure.
If Jason or you have some knowledge of this situation to further
sure.
explain it, I guess.
Yeah, we certainly, if they're willing, we can test their water. We can do a water test. It's a $19 kit. I mean,
yeah.
But it's their responsibility to initiate that, and we certainly would do it for them.
Well, is there being toxic waste dumped over there somewhere?
No. Lewis claims that back in the 70s and 80s, there was toxic waste being dumped on our property, on city property. It came from Procter & Gamble and from Detroit Tap and Tool.
Was that done with our knowledge?
I would assume so. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's and I don't know exactly what it was.
If anything,
yes.
Well, that was that landfill was made the standard, so it had a liner.
Mm-hmm.
Which is supposed to contain, at least for some time, any liquids that would be in there.
And there's no doubt that I think everybody's general consensus nowadays is that's a no-no to do. If there were contaminated soils in that area, are there monies that the state or the federal government put out there in order to clean that stuff up? I mean, if you're not building something, I know there's brownfield stuff for if you're making changes to a property, but is there that kind of, even to test it so that it doesn't happen, what his claims are, whether they are correct or not, so that if, you know, if there's any potential knowledge of their mind, and I'm just asking.
Sure.
Yeah.
That. Yeah, there can be, and there's not really EPA funding anymore, but there can be some state funding that is available for cleanup, but it's I mean,
it's
they're not going to pay for 100% of it. I mean, it's going to, we're the property owner in that case, so so we're the liable party. So
the two of them in the middle are out, right?
Basically, I mean, you could, depending on if there was an agreement in place or there was something in place, they could be a liable party. Certainly, they put it there.
Well, that would be helpful.
But it might be
litigation.
A long process, litigation, yeah.
Certainly, Procter & Gamble's going around.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, I'm surprised that back when the city run water up to the city limits, there's only one main street, which is Eastern Avenue. I'm surprised they didn't go down that street.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's three houses on that street right now.
And that side of it.
That's to the south.
To the south, yes.
But how about to the north?
To the north, yeah.
Lots of houses.
There's a lot more than that.
Yeah, there is. Along through there.
Yeah, but there is water to the other side, though, right?
To
was that where their property is south side?
Well, so there is water to the north?
To the north side,
oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. It's just the three houses.
They just didn't go south.
And only two of them are being used, I believe, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question?
Well, it's not really your time. But
I know, it's not my time. But I have a question. It got brought up that there are drain fields in the city, in different areas, that some people have drain fields. And
you mean septic fields?
Septic fields.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know if Mr. Carmel has tested any of the land around those drain fields to see if there's leaching that's happening into neighbors? Having drain fields in the septic fields in the city is a little concerning because the houses are close together.
Tight proximity, yeah.
And it could create an issue.
I think it's a long-standing, especially maybe national, but in the state I know there are a lot of areas that are questioning placements of drain fields and what the repercussions of those are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it going on, but it's all comes down to dollars on how you figure that all out.
Yeah.
And there are no state laws requiring
no
maintenance or testing. Even for ones that are outside the city.
Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we are not, the city is not responsible for those private sewer systems. The health department can be if there's
right.
a certain situation there.
And
where
I,
it is.
If I lived next to one, I'd want to have the soil tested.
Sure, sure.
Just taste
yep.
it. All right, Sarah, anything else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mill Street, I think that we talked about that a couple meetings ago. Where's Mill Street on our radar for road repairs?
That's really at the top of the list. I don't know that Jason has it scheduled yet. So we probably won't be able to do that until the next fiscal year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I would bet we aren't going to be able to do it until next spring.
Okay.
Just with the Center Street project, 6th Street sewer project, which we have to pay over after that, we're just not going to have any funding left.
Okay.
Which part of Mill Street?
Between Main and Huron.
Oh.
Okay, so
yeah,
it's
bad.
Next spring. Okay. And then the other thing, I've heard a lot of comments from the public. We had our hearing last meeting about the millage, that they're upset that we were considering the millage while we also are giving tax abatements. And I think that's a valid concern. And I personally would like to revisit our criteria for how many years we give a tax abatement. We have that little chart with all those criteria that we calculate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we maybe need to revisit that and make sure that we're being fair both to our businesses that we're offering it to and our residents who are being tasked with making up the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly can lay all that out for you. There's a lot of complexities to all of that. The biggest one is that the tax abatement district that we're granting these abatements to are all in the DDA. So these improvements that are being made don't contribute to the general fund. They're tax increment financing, all those tax dollars would go to the DDA Main Street. That's problematic. That's why the DDA is very healthy because of its makeup and structure. The general fund is not healthy. But I can't use DDA monies to fund the general fund. Go ahead, Betty.
Can the DDA give to the general fund?
No.
Instead of doing a project that we have to pay for?
They could. I'm looking at it. We're considering they could help pay for certain projects for certain services in the DDA. Some DDAs do that. Our DDA was not set up to do that. But I think we should charge the DDA for DPW services and that type of stuff. We think we'll have to change the makeup. Like, for example, the DPW, they spend 2 days putting up flower baskets. It's a DDA function. The general fund pays for that.
Yeah,
not the DDA.
We talked about the lights already at one of the DDA meetings.
Yes.
For a couple lights.
Yeah.
It's something that, in my mind, hasn't been had enough council input is this actual spending of DDA dollars in their projects past and present, as far as that goes. But I realize that that's what it's set up for.
Well, and there was some discussion that if there could be a mechanism put in that DDA agreement for ongoing maintenance, when a project is done. But the DDA's, it's going to have to renew their mandate within, 4 years?
2022, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, 3 years.
So I think all of these ideas should come together, and as that's being developed, it would be a great time to include these other elements and we'll have a much better picture of their funding then, too, because it's changing quite a bit in the DDA.
It is.
And I don't know if they would disagree with that. I mean, I haven't heard pushback from some of those ideas that have come out.
No. And I think, we've got the DDA has financially has become very healthy over the last, since 2017, actually, once we paid off the footbridge. The DDA was at budget every year. I mean, they spent every dollar that they brought in. That's not the case any longer. We freed up about $60,000 with paying off the pedestrian bridge. Festival Square will be done in 2022. That's another nearly $60,000 payment. And they've had some improvements in tax increment financing with the Straits Area Federal Credit Union project, with Ryback and Kikosin buying property from the city. That's now on the tax roll. The DDA is capturing that taxable value increase. So they have, they're financially very healthy. I mean, I look at that budget every day and think,
like you said, they don't really have a project on the agenda right now.
No.
Like the footbridge they have spent down there.
Someone made a point, I don't know how far back it goes, I haven't been on council long enough, but someone made the point at one of the DDA meetings too, that all the large cost projects they bring to the city council even though they don't have to. Is that correct?
As far as what their plan is and that type of stuff,
right.
they're basically,
this is what we want to spend our money on. If it's a big cost, they bring it to the city council to make the final decision, even though they don't have to. Is that correct?
They do, yeah. Because they are their own authority, but but they still do bring those ideas and thoughts to the council.
But certainly something that we can discuss about making changes in that in the land service, I guess.
So that mandate that comes up for renewal 2022, how many years is that good for?
Well, that's part of the...
Depends, yeah. It's up, to, up to the decision. The reason it's 2022 is the current expiration date is because of the debt on Festival Square. When they took out a bond to build Festival Square, it was a 10-year bond that started in 2012.
Okay.
So you have to have, if you have debt against the DDA, the length of the DDA, the expiration date, has to be the same time frame as the debt. So if you have debt, mm-hmm. So if they were to extend additional debt, let's say they go and get a loan, 10-year loan that goes into 2029, they have to extend the DDA expiration date to 2029.
Because the DDA can't cease to exist while they have debt.
Correct. Right. Yep.
The
city can take on the debt if you want to dissolve the DDA. The city's got to take on that debt.
And is it possible for us to revisit the issue of their budget and whether or not they pay for DPW services before 2022, or do we have to wait?
No. Sure.
Okay.
We can certainly look at that.
I was just thinking it'd be nice to have it built in the document,
yes. But
mm-hmm. I think we can address some of those.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd love to see that on an agenda sometime in the next couple months, maybe, so we can start reviewing.
Have you read the DDA plan?
I have not. Okay. No, I will now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's several iterations because it's over 30 years old.
Yeah.
35.
Yep.
85. Did you have anything else?
Nope, that was everything I had. Thank you.
Betty?
Whoever is responsible for the grass cutting towards Bridge, good job. Looks better. They haven't done anything with the trees, trimming or anything, but I take it that was the homeowners or the association, or was that us that took care of that?
It was the association.
Okay, that was a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah. You got this week or person next week.
Oh, good.
At least the roadside.
Yeah.
Road.
Yeah. That's a start.
Yep.
So, thank you.
Okay. The only thing I mentioned is we have the meeting with the Michigan Main Street, and they didn't really, as far as I'm concerned, they didn't really get into the meat of it yet. They were more like, we're looking to get a lot of volunteers to help with the Michigan Main Street stuff, it seemed to me, because they really stressed how they need the Michigan Main Street thing to run. It's not going to be as much run by the government, you know, or the city council or, you know, the DDA people as much as it's going to be very volunteer driven. And so that was kind of where they were focusing, it seemed to me. And as we'll have more meetings in the next few months, and we'll start really getting into what the DDA needs to do to get the ball rolling at that point.
Thanks for bringing that up. I forgot to mention that we both went to that training. It was very helpful. I think if anybody has an opportunity to go to one of those Main Street trainings, they should.
But one thing I liked about it was I thought at this meeting they were really emphasizing that if you're going to be a volunteer, you need to expect to spend some significant time.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think they were sort of warning people that we expect this commitment from you. And I know I could hear people talking in the room who were actually thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't be involved in this because I do not have the time to do it. And so, and I think that was a lot of this was psychologically getting people prepared that they aren't going to do it for us, but mm-hmm. they need people to really work hard at getting it done.
On the other hand, it means they're serious about getting some stuff done,
right.
too.
Yeah, they packed a lot of information in that hour. They've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot for us.
Yeah, a lot of it was recap for the people on the DDA, but for all those volunteers mm-hmm. and new people who haven't been to meetings, yeah, it's a lot, going on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I got a few things here. It was brought up earlier about reporting blight. Can we review how a citizen can report blight? Can they call the front desk and make a report?
Yes.
Can they call public safety and make a report?
Yes.
What's the preference, or it doesn't matter?
The preference would be to call public safety, but the front desk is available.
Okay.
More than the desk at public safety, so.
So either one, they need to call somebody.
Yeah.
Start the action.
Exactly, because it ultimately ends up in the hands of public safety. So,
right.
But other front desk, Judy and Janet and Debbie can move that information along. And
okay.
We also have forms at the front desk. For any kind of complaints, not just mm-hmm. blight. They can use that form so it's in writing.
Well, I was just spoke then because people have been asking, you know, if I see this, who do I tell? And I just
sure.
want to make sure I'm directing them to the right place.
Yes.
To do that.
Mayor, yep. They can need an email on our website.
Okay, thank you. I asked Tom, I was going through some of my papers, and I look at this one paper occasionally, and it's a map of the properties in the city that we do not collect taxes on. The map I have was from 2000, and I noticed there were some changes, so I asked him to give me a new one. So what you're seeing on here, anything that is... surrounded by blue is a tax exempt property.
That's half the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we're limited on what we can get revenue from. So that really puts burden on a, you know, you think we got this whole city, but half of it is taken out of the equation.
A lot of it's just vacant lots, I'm assuming.
Not necessarily.
Nope, some are. I mean, exempt properties are county-owned properties, city-owned properties,
okay.
churches,
schools,
school system,
libraries,
state land, DNR land.
Big giant chunks.
Yeah,
conservancies.
Little Traverse Conservancy, which now owns about 85 acres on Lake Huron.
Sure.
So
are all these permanently tax exempt, or are there some in here that were granted some kind of exemption that could be
expire?
No,
these are properties that are in the exempt class
by
law. So again, just what I mentioned, you know, public libraries, churches, state, federal government are tax exempt by state law.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, the county could sell some of its property.
Yeah, it could come back on
into the tax rolls. That's why I asked Tom to update this, because
mm-hmm.
that had happened with some of the properties.
The city's got a lot of property it could sell, too, that's not being used.
We have a ton of it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see a map of that, the property that we could do something with.
Just city, we can do that, too.
Us or the county, I guess, you know, could do something with, maybe.
Yeah, and that's all I wanted, just... so that people, as we're talking about taxes and funding and tax abatements, it all fits into all of this.
Yeah.
We have, as a municipality, we have a tremendous amount of assets in real estate. It's abnormal. This building being one of them. And this build, the replacement cost on this building is $12 million. That's what I insure it for. Yes. If this building burned to the ground, it would cost $12 million to rebuild it.
That's hefty.
So we have about $38 million in real estate assets. You know, they're not good for anything because...
Right. We can't borrow them.
Right.
The citizen.
Yes, but... Yeah, we do have a lot of property. a lot of quality property, you know, from the ice rink to this building and the vacant lands. I mean, we have, really, City Beach, just the beachfront itself is worth about $1 million.
Sure.
You know, that waterfront.
It's mostly con right now.
we're trying to get some more sand in there. It's,
yeah.
How much property do we own in residential areas or that could be sold?
There's not much other than parts of Major City Park, likely, you know, along Cleveland, but possibly. But
well, you got a big chunk there on Western Avenue across from the industrial park.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I bet if you add it up, it's a lot of progress. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But something for us to be aware of.
Yeah.
The next item on here is, I just wanted to let everybody know that the mayor is paying for his sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Get that straight on Facebook.
Put it in the public record.
Try to clear that up for you.
All right. You mentioned a couple of the water sewer projects, and I know the engineering stuff is going on with that. Are we, is some of that going to be done this year, dug up and replaced?
Yes. There's two major projects, the Center Street, Palmyra water supply, that should be done. The Sixth Street job is being bid out right now. We'll have that document here in City Hall shortly.
And okay.
Jim Granger's handling that process.
That's between A and B Street?
It's between A and F Street.
Oh, the whole thing, pretty
sewer,
much.
Sewer, yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the street where I remember last fall one of the citizens brought me one of his filters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Center Street, yes.
Oh, okay.
That's a water project. The Sixth Street project is just sewer.
Okay.
There's multiple places that the sewer's collapsed on Sixth Street. But
that's the street where they had an outdoor toilet.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the front porch.
They did.
All right. The last item, I know a couple of us received an email from Joe Monahan. Do we know who this is?
Joe Monahan.
About the Lund property.
Can you read it?
Really? No, I
it's
really
not
don't
signed. It's not very professional, but that's why I showed him to see if he recognized the name. To know where it came from, I replied and said, "Can you elaborate with what you'd like me to do with that information? And who you are," is basically all, but it talks about quite a lot of stuff.
Was I on the original list? Or?
No, there isn't. It's just me.
And then I
asked him, he got it too, so he must have singled
and
out.
Came on my city email.
Okay.
Like there's something happening, you should be aware of this, and what are you doing about it? And
you still have assessor email?
Send it to teustacessionwork.org.
All right.
Sign.
You
scared me, by the way.
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I don't have a lot, but I did want to spin off a little bit on when Sarah was talking about the organizational meetings that we did. And we talked a little bit. We hit on the Recreation Commission as far as that goes on what their plans were. And we talked about the Blight Committee a little bit and what their directions were as far as that goes. And it seems to be that the lines, not just on those two committees, but the lines on from the council to other units of other arms of the city are, I guess, need to be
established.
Yeah, established or advanced, including we talked about surrounding townships, surrounding the county meetings that don't have city representation there. I think that we're losing a little bit of that open communication line with surrounding townships. We are going to go to townships, the surrounding townships who want to participate potentially in a recreation authority. We do want to continue that relationship and build that relationship so there's an open line of communication. Plus that, and I think that it would be beneficial that we get that somewhere on the agenda to at least discuss volunteering or the mayor appointing people to the surrounding so that we have some representation. It shouldn't all be Tom have to be at every one of these meetings as far as that goes, if we can find volunteers from council to do it. and then offer, you know, like everyone else that does these, it's just a simple reimbursement for your for that going to that meeting or whatnot, just so it doesn't have an added cost. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for moving forward, whether I'm on the council or not, 5 years from now, this should be something that's normal, in my opinion. So, and it's especially beneficial because of what's coming up for what the Recreation Commission and the Recreation potentially forming an authority can do for our community. We talk about funding at the council level, and we talk about it a heck of a lot in the organizational meeting, and everything that we look at, it comes down to funding. So this helps because we can't do it as a city alone anymore. We don't have the funding resources. The community's going to have to step up if we want to continue to provide the same services and asset usage that we have right now, including the Opera House, the ice rink, the Parks and Rec. It's all, we're all the same community, and it's on us to put that communication line back open as far as that goes. And then you have more thought processes and more minds coming together to find solutions as far as that goes. That's what I think is a direction we should probably look at taking.
And there are a few townships that feel like they don't have a good line of communication with the city, and I think that this would help solve some of that. They would feel like we're accessible again.
It's pretty obvious that Inverness Township and the city didn't have a very good open communication line for quite some time. I think it's been mended. Mm-hmm. But that can be done. Maybe they're not the biggest projects on the line, but that should be there should be that availability for the surrounding townships and the county. The county and the city should work on a lot of things together. That's all I have as far as things.
Can we have that on the agenda for our next meeting, Tom, so we can discuss it and look at meeting times and figure out what works for everybody?
For sure. The other township.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know some of them have their meetings the same night as we do.
Which might not work out.
Right. Yeah. There's a little problem there. I had one other thing I wanted to add, and I wish Lewis had stayed. I've had this discussion with Lewis for about 4 years, and we still circle around the same things about what the city's committed to, what it's his personal responsibility, even though Lewis is not a citizen of the city and doesn't own property in the city. He's looking out for family members.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he doesn't want to hear what I have to say about what we can do. And so this has been his reaction to that.
It is.
And we continue to talk about he does not have, the family does not have water and sewer at that site, but they do not pay for water and sewer. So they're not paying taxes, so they're not being slaved. You only pay for that service when you have it. And that's exactly one of the discussions that we've had in PBA. So I'll leave it at that, and I will see him tomorrow at the library. Yeah. Anything else?
I had a question about, probably for the chief there, what they were going to do with the Water Street kind of behind the post office. Were they going to do any more construction there, or is that finished as is? Or maybe you can tell me.
That's
chief then.
Yeah, that's, we wanted to pave the entire street, but that's, yeah, that's what it is now.
Okay.
It is,
that's
much better.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about tripping anymore.
I was just curious if they were going to block that off, because that was a mess.
Yeah, why wasn't the road closed when they were working on that?
Well, they did close it for a while, like
after they finished it,
and then people were zooming through the post office parking lot, like, while people are loading their vehicles. It was very dangerous.
Yeah, the first day that guy was in the middle of the road, he was cutting the line where they were going to, you know, lift the asphalt, and the road was not closed. There were people going around him, and he didn't seem fazed by it, but that seemed incredibly dangerous. And then even when they did close the road, they didn't block it on Main Street, or put a sign up maybe that, you know, no through traffic or something. I can understand having it open for the parking lot. But that was just a mess. So we heard constant complaints while that was going on.
So I guess I guess my comment would be if they were going to do any more work on that, if they could come up with some kind of different solution to make it a little safer.
Routing traffic. It's up to the contractor. Sperling was the contractor to manage that traffic and so forth. And they didn't do a very good job of it.
And they really didn't seem to care that cars were like 2 inches away from their dude cutting the asphalt. That made me nervous, but I guess they didn't care. Hope they had good insurance.
I was going to say, you've been insurance, you want them.
Yeah.
Start getting nervous.
That's my first thought now, is I hope they have good insurance.
All right. We have nothing else. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Yeah.
Four.